day.
Now that an Iranian scientist is on home soil, he's claiming that he received harsh treatment by the U.S. Fair or foul? We'll dive into it. Unfortunately, the last 24 hours has been rough in Afghanistan. 8 U.S. troops killed. I'll give you the details on that sad, unfortunately, loss of life there in this long battle in Afghanistan. In the meantime, the Mexican president replaces his top security official. Do we care? But, of course, it makes news. Anything when we talk about Felipe Calderon. Hope you're having a good week so far. This is Hump Day and beyond. A couple more days left, stretch drive time, and then you're into the weekend. Or perhaps with the way all of us work, you have a schedule that's a little bit jacked up, where you might be a third shifter or you're working a couple of different days. Either way, you're probably in the middle of the work week somewhere, and that's always a positive thing, my friends, right? Right here from the get-go with me, Kate Delaney, on America Tonight, we're going to jump into this Al Megrahi, I think, controversy. I went off on this, if you remember, and I'm sure all of you, most of you anyway, feel the same way. You know, the Lockerbie bomber situation where Al Megrahi pretty much was let go. Yes, he's riddled with cancer, and they said at Scotland Yard that it was the humane thing to do. But really, it turns out it's about oil. We knew that, and that was part of the discussion previously, that there was the fact that oil was hanging in the balance for British Petroleum. Now we have this oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and how infuriating is it when you think of now Megrahi, the Americans who were killed? Yes, it was back in the late 80s. Doesn't matter. You had all those families on the East Coast affected by that who lost, in some cases, teenagers or people who had just really started to live, were just getting out of college, families, etc. And all because of a plane blowing up on a terror attack. Al Megrahi, the center of that, he gets released and comes back to a hero's welcome in Libya. So a couple of senators sounded off, one from New York and one from New Jersey. Senator Chuck Schumer and Senator Robert Menendez from New Jersey both had something to say about the ties to British Petroleum, and trust me, it wasn't nice.
It's almost too disgusting to fathom that BP had a possible role in securing the release of the Lockerbie terrorists in return for an oil drilling deal with Libya.
If BP is found to have gained access to Libyan oil reserves by using a mass murderer as a bargaining chip, then make no mistake, any money it makes off of that oil is blood money.
Of course it's blood money, but again, this is something that we knew, and yet what can you do? What could you do about it other than, I think the one smart play was, if you remember, when Muammar Gaddafi wanted a place to stay, nobody in New Jersey would have him. He wanted to put up his stupid Bedouin tent. Nobody wanted that tent anywhere, and it was very, very difficult for the Libyans. That was a good thing. But this British Petroleum deal just opens up the wounds for all those people who had to bury nothing. They had no body. People were blown to bits in that flight, if you remember. All right, we're talking about a slew of other things as well, including right here politically what's going on with the Tea Party and the situation with and the fact that the NAACP said the organization is basically racist. Now you have people that are part of the Tea Party coming out and saying, listen, racist, forget about it. I mean, Democrats are part of the Tea Party movement. There is this misconception that everybody is radical, crazy, right-wing nutbags, fringe element. And like I said in a previous show, whenever you gather and you have people like that, of course there's people like that. But there are a vast majority of people who wanted to go out because they felt like they wanted to do something, and they stepped out of themselves a little bit and got involved and went to some of the rallies and whatnot. Let's go to Stu, who's listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Stu.
Hey, Kate.
Hey.
I kind of like the sign. A buddy of mine's got on his Facebook the billboard out there with Hitler and Obama and Stalin and Stalin or Lenin. It's Stalin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They all want change. They all want to change. And every time I think about it, I know Jimmy Carter sitting in Georgia in that hot heat, you know, eating him some peanuts, and he's grinning, and he's loving it, because no longer is he the biggest idiot for a president and the biggest screw-up we've ever had. Obama's going to take his place, so Carter's going to move up the ladder a little bit, look a little better.
Yeah, do you think, it will be interesting, because with presidents, it is about once they leave what the legacy is. And with the economy where it's at, and you can't keep saying that it's about what he inherited. Because, yes, there were things that Obama inherited that he didn't have much room to wiggle around. But now we're beyond that, Stu, and I think that's what you're pointing to. I think, you know, it's like you don't even have to resort to crazy billboards. I mean, it's just an ineffective administration. Democrats are saying the same thing. A lot of people that are very, very left are disappointed in Obama. So pretty much nobody's happy.
Well, you know, you have no leader when he goes 80 to 70 days before he really does anything about the oil spill.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets in, he goes, takes us more in debt than we've ever been in history. And he pushes for that. And then he wants control over 1/6 of the economy, and he wants this, and he wants that. And it's almost like he wants complete control. So, I mean, you can say, yeah, Bush makes mistakes, but there's no doubt. You know, and Bush had some Republicans there to love to spend money.
Right.
But Obama's in there, and he's got Reid and Pelosi, and they are spending like crazy, and they're not even thinking. And they're thinking that you spend to get out of debt. And I can tell you, on my end, from a business person, a small business person,
mm-hmm.
who they
mm-hmm.
always say they're out to help, and they're really out to screw, when it's all said and done, if I know things are getting tight on this end, well, then I've got to make cuts somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? If they increase my capital gains tax, or if they increase my payroll tax, I've got to make cuts somewhere.
Sure.
And it's not go out and borrow more money and go deeper in debt, or it's not go out and buy more equipment, borrow more money to buy more equipment to go deeper in debt. You make your cuts. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we run everything pretty conservative. We are probably 75% to 78% this last tax season when we were going through everything, 75% to 78% debt free. And we keep it in at 75% to 80% debt free. You need your write offs, but at the same time you want to make sure you're not tied down where you're screwed if something goes wrong. So we didn't get that way by borrowing. We got that way by making cuts, saving here, saving there. You know, you get what I'm saying.
Right.
At the same time, you've got a guy up there that's never really been a businessman, mm-hmm. has no leadership skills at all. They throw him in there, and all he knows is, well, I think if we go deeper in debt, we screw the little guy and take more tax dollars, it'll get us back out, it'll get us out quicker. And so he's done it to himself. He may have inherited some of that, but he has screwed himself beyond belief.
Yeah, thanks, Stu. I'm going to respond to that on the flip side about the spending, and also about the name-calling of the president. Why I don't think you even need to go there, like with the billboard. It's smarter to go a different route. I'll tell you why next.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need need the magic yellow flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the magic yellow flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The magic yellow flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit magicyellowflyer.com. That's magicyellowflyer.com. Put the magic yellow flyer to work for you today. Visit magicyellowflyer.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
America Tonight, the name of the show, left, right, or in between, you have a chance to sound off. I always invite everybody, all opinions welcome, 800-259-5791. All right, here's the scoop. What you heard there, Stu, when he was talking about Obama, that he's not a business guy and all the spending, and we're seeing it, the trillions in the deficit and whatnot, and how do you get rid of that deficit? And then you hear things like you've got signs and somebody's doing that where I don't even think he's aware of it. But let's just say the transparency is ridiculous with the signs of here's the stimulus and it's working and we spent $20 million on these signs. So that's a waste of cash. But this billboard was created that Stu mentioned by an Iowa Tea Party group. And what the billboard has on it, they've got Barack Obama and they compare Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler and Vladimir Lenin is the other guy on it. And it's getting a lot of criticism, to be honest, even from fellow Tea Party people who don't want to be associated with what would be deemed as crazy and offensive and, you know, whatever. But I think more importantly, does it get a message across or is it a waste of money on the other side of things? It had the intended purpose because guess what? It got a lot of publicity. And what the co-founder of that group says, see, it's always in your perspective. He defended the billboard saying it's not racist. It wasn't meant that way. This billboard was supposed to send an anti-socialist message, not anything to do with Obama as the man, but as what he's doing as the president. The guy's name's Bob Johnson, and he said the message probably got lost because you've got a communist leader and a fascist leader, and that's what people were drawn to. But he was really trying to get across socialism, he said, because beneath the labels there was Democrat socialism, National Socialism, and Marxist socialism. So that was what he's saying it was supposed to do. But, I mean, the problem is they knew that it was going to draw criticism, and that's what controversy sells. Controversy is what gets attention. But I think they have to be careful that they don't come off, if they're really trying to be Tea Party patriots, this group, and invite all kinds of different people who really are thinking one way, then they don't want to come off as a bunch of right-wing fringe nutballs. I don't think that's not what they want to be out there, unless I'm completely wrong. And anytime you use a comparison to Hitler, you got to remember, unless you're Ahmadinejad in Iran who doesn't believe in the Holocaust, you're talking about Hitler was the most vile human being you could possibly be. He oversaw the killing of 6 million Jews, and you look at the invasions of all those countries that led to World War II. So when you compare Obama to Hitler, that's a tough path to go down, one that I don't think you really want to go down. You know, and here's what I say, and Stu says this too. Stu says, look, I'd probably have a beer with the guy. I think he seems like an okay guy. I completely disagree with where the country's headed and what he's doing and the spending. And from a businessman's perspective, you see it. And I say that from my perspective, he has ineffective people around him, and that's hurting whatever the message is supposed to be. And there's things that don't make sense to me, like Afghanistan. What's the end game there? Well, ultimately, what is it supposed to be? We talked about that with Jeff Atticott and other people we've had on, from former FBI agents down the line, to what are we trying to accomplish here? Now, hey, granted, he inherited Afghanistan, but now the future is his as president, along with Congress, as to where we're going. And is it another 10 years, which makes 19, and what qualifies as a victory, for one? And then, of course, the spending thing, because it's always about the money, and Stu's right when he says that. This is what we live by. We're not trading seashells for goods. We're trading currency. And when there is a lack of currency, when there's problems that we're having in the mortgage industry that's killing people, they can't get loans, when we have underemployment, when we have no employment, and it's not just people that are tired, lazy, and are just living off the dole. That's not everybody. So you can't point to that. Then you have people that are discouraged, people that they can't barely pay those rents or those mortgages. And that affects whoever the president is, because people aren't happy. And when the American people aren't happy, they're not going to like that. They're not going to like the president. And that's what we're seeing with Obama. Yes, and he inherited some of the problems, absolutely. But now he's got the ball, and he has to run with it in whatever direction. And that's what history will judge Obama on. And then plus, what happens in 2012? Are we looking at a two-term president, or looking at some of the polls? Are we looking at a close race? But who's... We have a two-party system, really, so who's the person that's running against Obama, right? Josh is listening to us in the great state of Vermont. Hey, Josh.
Hi, Kate. You know, the first caller in this segment was mocking President Jimmy Carter, but I do not recall 4,000 dead American soldiers under Jimmy Carter. Mm-hmm. I do not recall 30,000 American soldiers that have been brought home wounded, injured, crippled, or maimed for the rest of their lives, not under Jimmy Carter. I do not recall two unfunded wars under Jimmy Carter, but under George the Genius Bush, that's what we've got.
Meaning what Obama inherited on the war side, yeah. Well, you can't deny those numbers. You can't. I mean, you're right. You can't deny the numbers, especially with the injuries. It's been crazy. With the roadside bombs, it's horrible. Yeah.
Comparing Jimmy Carter to George the Genius Bush, it's not even in the same league. You know, before 9/11, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice presented George Bush with a report that was titled "Osama bin Laden Determined to Attack Within the United States." Mm-hmm. But George Bush, instead of gathering his forces, George Bush thought it would be a better idea to go and gather brush in Crawford, Texas. And that's where 9/11 came around. So George Bush cannot deny responsibility for 4,000 dead American soldiers, because it could have been prevented.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that report that was didn't see the light of day. You're right about that. I mean, there's been enough proof around about that. Absolutely. Josh, thanks for the call. I disagree on Obama, though, as a effective president. If we're going down that road, no. And because, yes, he did inherit the wars, like I just said, from the Bush administration, but now it's his to carry on wherever it's going to go. So remember, Josh and others, that one of the things that Obama said was that was one of his campaign promises, is that we're getting out of the war, we're getting out of that business. And now we've got the situation in Afghanistan, and ultimately, you know, what happens in Pakistan, and what's the end game, and all those same questions. So if we look down the road another 3-4 years, like we just had some troops killed, then you can't put that part of it on Bush. If we wanted to look at Carter and the debacles, there were plenty of things that you could go after Jimmy Carter for. And, I mean, to me, Carter wasn't he was a great statesman when it came to relations with foreign countries, and foreign countries certainly liked him, much like we saw, I mean, hey, even with Nixon and China and what he did with China, as much as we could talk about and dog Nixon for his nonsense and Watergate and whatever. If we're strictly examining the president, if we're looking like at Jimmy Carter as the 39th president of the United States, you think of the Iran hostage crisis and why that wasn't stamped out sooner, I would throw that certainly on Carter. And I would say that when it came to relations with other countries, yes, he would get some pretty decent marks for that. That's why he's still a statesperson and occasionally is sent out to do that kind of work, or has been in the past. But when it comes to what he did, other than championing human rights throughout the world on the domestic side, I mean, he was pushing an energy program. He deregulated transportation and communication and finance and all that other sort of stuff. We saw what happened under education. He tried to do some things under education, but I think they fell flat. But, you know, you had the Alaska National Interest, whatever it was, the Conservation Act. You know, he wrote a lot of books. He's not a dumb guy. And certainly when it came to world affairs, that was his thing. But the presidency, I would say, I wouldn't list him as one of our all-time greatest presidents. No. Peaceful solutions, trying to do that, advancing democracy, human rights, that would be his strengths. Promoting the economy, he tried, but I don't think he had a great success there, certainly. All right, you may disagree or have some other thoughts. Share them with us on America Tonight.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green, go blue at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio?
GCN.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight, that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
I like to see you go right across the floor. I like to do the thing, do you call phone
low? All right, I have a feeling some people want to sound off on was Jimmy Carter our worst president ever? Stu, see the can of worms you opened up? It's good, though. You know, you hear Jimmy Carter actually mentioned as the worst president of all time. Was he the worst if we went back through history and actually compared? And you have the Iran hostage crisis, which I mentioned. How many days was that? Over 400 days. You had, what, double-digit inflation? Do you remember? I was such a little kid, but I can remember gas rationing. Remember the two Arab oil embargoes? And I mean, basically, Carter wasn't. He tried not to be controversial, I think. He was trying to please too many masters or something, and he really wanted to be reelected was probably one of his biggest problems. But he had a slew of failed policies. As far as trying to be a humanitarian, I mean, at this point now in history, if you go and look up Jimmy Carter books, he's got like 23 or 24 or 25 or who knows, probably more than that. I mean, he's about the humanitarian side of things, but he was not an effective president. He was not. Let's go to Dale, who's listening to us in Illinois. Hey, Dale.
Kate, I respect the gentleman's opinion, but my goodness. You know, it's written all over history how poor a president Jimmy Carter was. You know, he makes a comment that, you know, so many people didn't die when he was in office. Well, no, if you sit back and you do nothing, we're not going to lose anybody. Now, of course, I understand that it wasn't my son or daughter that was lost in those times, but what people don't realize, what kind of world would we have if Saddam Hussein was still in power?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a mess we would have?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We don't want to take that chance to know. But Jimmy Carter? No, I don't think so. A bad president, president at a bad time. He just wasn't any good.
There's not much to say about Carter because I think we're right here. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He was the president of do nothing.
Well, he said, you know, he was a nuclear scientist, obviously a brilliant man, but he just never got much accomplished. And in terms of foreign policy, he was a total disaster.
Mm-hmm.
He was so upset one time when Brezhnev lied to him. Well, hello. I mean,
yeah, look at the Russian spy situation now. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, he was, you know, I'm sorry. I'm really disappointed that gentleman can't see the other side of it. Jimmy Carter, is he a fine man? He sure is.
Yeah.
But to go somewhere and try to negotiate something, Jimmy Carter wasn't the guy. And when he left office, I think we had straight interest rates at about 19%. And that's a job killer, I can assure you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I respect the gentleman's opinion, but I strongly disagree.
Yep. Thanks for the call. I agree, too. And I think Dale said it best. He is a hell of a guy, a great humanitarian. Absolutely. You know, and you can take any president, you can make a list, like the pros and the cons list. And so what would the pros be? You hear there where Dale mentions Hussein. And, you know, Hussein was eventually executed. What would have Saddam Hussein have ultimately done? We don't know. The big blunder, the big problem was the weapons of mass destruction. But, you know, 9/11 happens and Bush wanted to declare war because this happened on American soil. Let's face it. Other than Pearl Harbor, we had never, ever been touched by foreigners before like that. I was in New York. It was disgusting. It was awful. It was horrible. It's horrible to, in a way, to be there, except for that everybody was reaching out to everybody because you were walking around with half a heart every single day when you even tried to get into the city. So all of us were stunned for sure. And that's when you're going to look to, if it's Barack Obama, if it's Jimmy Carter, if it's whoever, that's when you're certainly going to look up to the president and to the government, like, whoa, what's going on here? How are you handling this? And what do you do when you're attacked? And what's on your mind when you're attacked to attack back? So, you know, a lot of countries didn't join the U.S., if you remember, and then it was all about the facts and getting all the facts out. You look at the other side of that, and the fact, and this was something Josh mentioned, that the president had warnings before 9/11, but it's not really clear why he didn't do anything about the warnings, why he didn't do anything. I remember at first we didn't know that bin Laden was trained by the CIA, and, you know, we didn't know that in the very beginning, I don't think. At least I know I didn't. I'm sure a lot of you didn't know either. So you could say that Bush was pretty slow on the uptake at the beginning of this with the Twin Towers, and then he ended up coming in and it was with the firemen and all that other sort of stuff because the world was watching to see what was going to happen. That's when Rudy Giuliani really stepped up because, trust me, as somebody living in New York, he had a popularity crest he was riding, and then a lot of people were upset with some of the things that Giuliani had been doing. And then he just really rose to the occasion when the city was attacked. So 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Let's go to George in Kentucky. Hey, George.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I do remember the years of Carter. I was in Florida. We couldn't even work because we couldn't get anything made of petroleum products. It was terrible. I come back to Kentucky. I do remember those days, high inflation. It was terrible. The other thing I want to rebuttal was the guy that called in and just bashed George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you can bash George Bush without I just will say this. I slept easier at night when he was president than I do now because there was such an uncertainty. I don't understand how you can, you know, blame him for everything because Obama was going to end this war. Obama was going to close Gitmo. You know, there's all these things. And there's a couple of things that bother me. You know, like I say, it's time for him to take, you know, he himself says, I take credit now, you know. So he is responsible. So it's time to, George Bush is gone. You know, let's forget him. Let's put, you know, let's start seeing some action out of this administration. You know, put your money where your mouth is. And the big thing that bothers me is, you know, they're doing outreach for Muslims. And, but at the same time, it seems like this racial stuff is keeps coming up. And I'm not following this at all. You know, it's a scary time. Very scary time.
Yeah, I agree with you. The racial stuff, it's too bad. It's, you know, why, why is there this focus on this? Why is there this focus on this?
Your president and his wife should be bringing us together. You know, we're not going to bring, I mean, NASA's not going to hire every Muslim born. Say they hire 1,000. That's not going to change, you know, the radical Muslims.
Right.
You know, that's after us. That's not going to change nothing.
Right.
Okay, that will change a few of the good ones, you know, which we already know. But I don't understand the racial comments that's being made, except from wife and husband. And, you know, it's just like the incident with the police officer. Before he even read what happened, he already cited and already formed an opinion, you know, on a supposedly friend of his, you know, and he didn't even know the situation. My stepfather was a policeman and was shot and killed here in this town. And that was like a big slap in the face to everybody.
Mm.
You know, so it kind of, it makes you wonder, you know, what is the, you know, who is the real Obama?
Yeah.
You know, just who, and it's, and I ask white and black alike. I work, you know, with a lot of blacks. I mean, they're my friends. Mm-hmm. I work with them every day. They're scared. Everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know where we're headed.
Yeah.
All we see is we're losing our jobs. We're losing our money. Taxes are getting ready to go up. I mean, where is the light at the end of this tunnel? You know, if Afghans are on war, then pull them out of there. You know, if you know, Gitmo needs to be closed, then close it. You know, that's, he said these things in his thing. He's been in office over a year. So it's time to, for Obama to be the man that he says he is.
Yeah, well said, George. Great call. Thanks for the call. Where is
Thank you.
You heard George say that. Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? These are the questions that we keep asking ourselves. And he's right about that. It's whites and blacks and Muslims. There's a lot of people asking the same question because now he's got the ball. He has to run with it. And he's absolutely right there. George said it perfectly. If it's closed Gitmo, then screw it. Close it. Go prove why it needs to be closed. Close it and go against the wind. I mean, I don't agree with it based on the information that I have from people who have been there that we've had on the show that have talked about it. We've had 4 people on that have talked about it. And we've talked to people who still think you should close it. But regardless, this is his presidency and ultimately his legacy and ultimately what happens while we're on his watch, so to speak. I mean, we have 3 branches of government, so it's not a dictatorship theoretically, right? And in 3 branches of government, that was the idea. Our brilliant founding fathers knew that power corrupts and things happen, and they couldn't look in the future in a crystal ball, but that's the reason why we have the 3 branches. And what's happened is there's too much politicizing. There's inaction. It's time for action. Clearly, that's what it's about. You have to have action. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. And more on ATN on the flip side.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV. With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites and a convert for playback in any of the popular formats, or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's easy recording wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on gcnlive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
This, everybody's invited to chime in and throw in on whatever it is we're talking about. And we've gone down this thread of Obama and Obama's presidency, and Jimmy Carter came up and, you know, basically talking about where we are at this point with this administration. And it goes back to a call from Stu in Kentucky where he brought up the billboard that an Iowa Tea Party group put up comparing Barack Obama to Hitler and Lenin and whatever, and then the Tea Party coming back and saying it wasn't about those guys, it was supposed to draw attention to socialism, and it seems to have been lost because of the photographs and the visuals and whatever, and so now we've gone down this path of where are we headed, and we see with the we're bleeding money, obviously. The taxes, get ready for the avalanche. We know that. And what scares me to death is the loss of the middle class. I mean, will that really come true? Will we have the haves and the, you know, have-nots? Let's go to Mark, who's listening to us in Missouri. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Kate. How are you tonight?
Good. How about you, buddy?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
And enjoyed listening. I was just thinking about presidents and how reputation is important, how you know, like Republicans afraid Jimmy Carter is such a poor president. I wonder if you asked Americans what president gave amnesty to 3.5 million Mexicans, had two of the largest tax hikes in history, negotiated with terrorists, ran a secret war, and when he left office, he increased the national debt by nearly 8 times.
Mm.
And that would be, you know, the Republican's deity, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
He's the only one to have given amnesty to illegals.
I like the secret. I like the secret war thing that you threw in there too.
Well,
that was yeah, yeah. That's absolutely right.
I mean, he broke every rule.
But you know what?
My book, he's one of the worst.
But yeah. In most people's book, Reagan would be one of the best.
Because of the PR job Republicans have done for him.
Right. But part of it is perception. Right.
Right. Well, I mean, the gentleman before me was very misinformed. He was trying to say that Obama had said he was going to end Afghanistan. He had said it was the right war, that we had to defeat these people. And within 45 days of taking office, he almost doubled our fighting force there. What he had always said was that Iraq was the wrong war, and mm-hmm. that they had lied into it. It had nothing to do with 9/11 or Al-Qaeda whatsoever, and it was a false, you know, build up to weapons of mass destruction. You know, it was all lies.
And well, the weapons, I agree with you on the weapons of mass destruction. They, let's face it, they found some, but not anywhere what the cachet was supposed to be. You're right.
The
mustard stuff that they found that with Saddam Hussein, there were traces of that, and that was
from 88, and that was supplies that Bush Senior had supplied when we were Iraq's friend.
Right, but it still counts. It's stuff that they had that they were willing to, that I think Saddam Hussein was willing to use. But I agree with you. I mean, I agree
I hear that argument that he was willing to use. He was going down a spider hole. He lost his country. The idea that he would have shipped it out, you know, it just doesn't make sense. I hear people cling to that idea. You know,
I'm not clinging to anything. I'm saying that I do believe that on information that I have. But I would say this. I mean, you're right. If it was inflated, the weapons of mass destruction, there's no question about that. And really, if any Republican listening would probably, if they're clear thinking, they would agree, because Bush did make mistakes. Absolutely. And the one of them was believing the intelligence reports about these weapons of mass destruction, because they weren't
there. They changed
the
reports. They actually changed them to fit their scenario. You know, they would try to say that Britain said it. The one person that they would ever cite was Russia, claiming that they had it. That was their, you know, just like the yellow cake uranium from Niger. That was all a hoax. You know, as the British Secret Service has given up some of their secrets, we found just how much they twisted the intelligence to the point where I have to accuse them of lying to go to war.
So who do you think is the best president then?
You know,
I mean, obviously, you don't think it's Reagan. You think he was a good orator, but it's not him. It was a PR thing.
I mean, he was, you know, everything that we're saying about Obama now, they were saying about Reagan in, you know, the 70s, you know, when he was running. He was an actor. He can give a good speech. He gives a good presence. But, he's, you know, if they had teleprompters, you know, they'd be saying he was reading everything off the teleprompter.
Yeah, but we're beyond that. It's not about running. He's got the office, so screw the transparency and all that stuff. It's now, what are you doing now? It's like if you or I become president, we can argue and say Bush screwed up and we hate this and we hate that. Then you elect me, then I got torpedoes ahead. It's all on me, whatever comes up next. So you don't want to go backwards. It's, okay, what is he doing that you think is effective?
Yeah. And just for your first question, I think Eisenhower, Ike, was a great president and really moved our country forward during a time, the Red Threat, and was very level-headed while many people were screaming, you know, like McCarthy. I think Eisenhower was a great president. Obama, I'm happy with many things he's accomplished. Does it bother me that in 18 or 16 months, whatever it is, he hasn't been able to close with Guantanamo, I'm not sure. I wish, you know, after making such a big deal, about it, he would. But, you know, he relinquished to political pressure. I guess that's part of being a president, is that you have to listen to all sides.
Well, that's what I think is the downfall. And thanks for the different perspective. That's what I think is the downfall of Obama, is that he doesn't act decisively. And what you're calling listen to all sides, I think, is his Achilles heel. And I think the problem with the Gitmo scenario is that if he thinks it has to be closed and he's backing up the reason why it has to be closed, then it should be closed. It should have been closed, but he wasn't able to do that. I think the flip-flopping that we're seeing, that's why I say, yeah. I don't see the thanks for the call. That's why I don't see the effectiveness of Obama, because I think that there's too much going back. He goes back on what ultimately he goes forward on. He doesn't stay whatever the course is that of whatever it is he's talking about, whether it's Gitmo, whether it's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, whether it's the CIA, and we're going after people who waterboarded, and you have the Attorney General on all of these scattered assignments all over the place of going after Arizona, challenging Arizona for the immigration law when the immigration laws that we have on the books are ridiculous and are not helping anyone. But you can take the immigration issue and go way back on immigration easily if you wanted to do that. So that would, we could do, you know, 10 hours on immigration. All right, quickly, let's go to Trey in Kentucky. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Kate, how you been doing?
Good. What do you think? You throw in your two cents.
Oh, man, I don't know. They're all messed up in my book. Me, personally, I'd have to say Clinton, because any man that can screw up that much and still be as loved as he is, that's got to be something going on there. Got to be. I try not to get too serious with it.
All right, I like that. But what was Clinton good at? He was a good schmoozer. He was a good speech maker.
You know what? These days, that's all it takes.
That's right. You got to give a good speech. That's right.
Yeah, I see it. You know, it ain't 1940 no more. It don't, you know, honesty ain't just out the door. Gone. They all do it. It'll be all right in the end regardless. So.
Yeah.
But no, I was listening to a bunch of talk shows before you tonight, just flipping through the channels, and I have to tell you, thank you very much. It's so nice not to hear a talk show host out there screaming at people with different opinions.
There you go. That's why we say we really mean that. We really want to invite everybody to sound off, whether I agree or don't agree or whatever or the majority of you do or don't. That's the whole idea. It's about the conversation.
Yep, and if they don't believe you, just flip the dial a little bit and listen around. It's crazy. But thanks, Kate. Love the show, babe.
All right. Thanks, Trey. I'm going to leave you with this one. It's one of my favorite quotes. Of course, I collect quotes, so I probably have too many of them hanging all over my walls. But I'll leave you with this one. It was Winston Churchill who said, "All great things are simple, and many can be expressed in single words: freedom, justice, honor, duty, mercy, and hope."